From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat, and this is Idaho Matters. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest healthcare news, from COVID to monkeypox, from RSV to Ebola, with our Doctor Roundtable with Dr. David Pate. He's the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, and he donates his time to us every single week to talk about the medical issues that affect you. Welcome back, Dr. Pate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Samantha. Glad to be here.
I want to kick off the conversation with something we heard last week. This comes from Sean Rainey. He's the chief paramedic with Ada County EMS, and he's talking about what he's seeing with COVID right now. Let's listen.
COVID, unfortunately, we're seeing a surge just within our own personnel in our department right now. We've had a little spike in COVID cases. I can't tell you what variant it is. The predominant variant in Boise City wastewater as of July 10th was XBB 1.5. But this is the one that, if you recall, can cause pink eye. One thing we're seeing that's a little bit different with this is some more nausea and vomiting associated with the being sick, where in the past it was mostly fatigue and respiratory and fever and that kind of thing. So we're just going to do our due diligence and try to stay safe and encourage people, if they get sick, stay home, test. We still have tests available to us. So little COVID spike, and that was anticipated. I think I've read several things that said that we would have a spike kind of late summer, and then they think we'll have another surge probably in the winter. But the good thing is that as time has gone by, most of these new variants tend to be milder in nature.
You know, Dr. Pate, I love a disease that just keeps changing and throwing more fun things at you, like pink eye and nausea.
Well, most people don't like change, Samantha, but yeah, it's changing. In fact, things have already changed from the time you interviewed Sean, because at that point, as he was describing, XBB.1.5 was the predominant in our wastewater. It has already taken a major dip, and now XBB.1.5 1.16 has become the prevailing variant, at least in the Boise wastewater. Globally, that variant, which I just mentioned, XBB.1.16, as well as another one, XBB.1.9, and now the new player on the block, EG.5, those are the dominant ones circulating. And here's one difference already. You remember, even with our PSTD, post-traumatic stress disorder, you remember in the earlier years, we are always talking about one dominant variant at a time, usually across much of the world. Now that's no longer the case. Now we have multiple variants circulating, and not all the same ones in the same countries. So it's gotten a little bit more complicated, but so it's already shifted here. I think that, usually we don't see a surge until a variant gets over 50%. And so XBB.1.16 now has, and I would imagine that may account for many of the illnesses. But in our country and here in our wastewater, we're certainly seeing a large increase in this newest variant, EG.5. And at this point, we don't know a lot about it, but we're not expecting that there's a major change in terms of transmissibility or immune escape. But clearly, we are seeing evidence that a new surge is happening. We've seen an increase in hospitalizations nationally. We're seeing less in Idaho, but I even see a slight, very slight uptick in hospitalizations, looking at the St. Luke's data. We might be in for a surge. I don't think anyone is predicting that we're going to see something like what we saw back at the end of 21 and beginning of 22, where our hospitals actually got overwhelmed. But there are some things that are perplexing me, Samantha. There are a handful of countries that have or are going through surges, and they've really been rough, including in Japan and previously in Brazil, where the hospitals got overwhelmed, which is quite surprising. And I don't know how to explain that, but I would just say two things. One, it's getting more difficult to make generalized predictions because even the different surges we're seeing in different countries right now, it doesn't appear that it's the same variant responsible in both. Second, whereas earlier it was quite a good predictor, now different countries have used different vaccines, different countries have used different mitigation measures, different countries have had different infection histories. And so it's just really hard to predict. All I do is look to see if anyone's having problems, just to know that, okay, the potential exists, but it doesn't mean that it will happen here. And then I guess the second point I would make, although certainly from Sean's standpoint with the paramedics and what they respond to, and let me just give a brief shout out to all the paramedics. We are so grateful to be able to have such really high quality services here available to us. And I appreciate the work they do on the front lines. And from their perspective, I certainly think those COVID patients look less ill. I think that from my perspective, as a doctor who takes care of patients long after the illness, I think we always have to keep in mind that it is very difficult to predict what is going to happen to somebody, even after a mild infection. Are they going to develop COVID? Long COVID. And also, what we do know, but we haven't seen play out yet, is that your risks increase for serious long-term effects after every infection. And so we don't really know how all that's going to play out.
Well, and you talk about long COVID, and we mentioned pink eye, which is an annoyance, and anyone who's had pink eye knows how annoying that is. But for some people who get COVID now, it's pink eye and nausea. And for some who, as we have talked about many times on this show, who are immunocompromised or have lung diseases, it's still a very deadly possible proposition.
Well, you're absolutely right, Samantha. And in fact, we have to be reminded when we do see hospitalizations going up, that represents severe disease. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, it's not the kind of levels like we've seen in the past. It's certainly no cause for alarm. But as you said, there are a number of groups of people that still need to be concerned, the elderly, the very young, the immunocompromised. And we also have to be a little humble in making predictions because so much has changed now from when we were having those previous surges. Today, I think everybody would agree, there is far less masking than there was at the end of 21, beginning of 22. It's much more common for large groups to get together and there be large events. We're just not doing much testing. And, we certainly have waning immunity in large portions of our population because there's many people that their last COVID vaccine was roughly a year ago. So, we have to be a little humble in predicting what's going to happen. I think most of us agree we're not going to see what we did back in those earlier years. But remember what a big shift all of a sudden Omicron was. And Omicron was a result of a recombination. And this virus loves to do that. And so I think while none of us are expecting it, we do know that is a possibility and we should not be ready to pronounce COVID over or that make a prediction that COVID will necessarily just continue to become milder. Hope that's the case, but I don't think we have assurance of that.
Gotcha. Okay, Dr. Pate, we've got a couple minutes left. I want to switch gears and ask you about Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. You wrote about this last month on your blog. You said the World Health Organization has put this disease on its top 9 list of priority diseases and that there's been an outbreak in Europe. So what is it? Could I get it here in Idaho? And if I'm not likely to get it here, why should I care about it?
So, no, you're not going to have to worry about getting that infection here in Idaho. But the reason to be aware of some of these other diseases that have spread now to countries where they normally haven't been is that now more than ever, if you're going to do international travel, you really have to do your research because as we talked about a few shows ago, there are now a whole lot more countries that are seeing polio that we never had to worry about before. And I've put on the blog a number of other diseases that have popped up in other countries. So keep this in mind for your travels. But this is a what we call a hemorrhagic fever. In other words, it's a infection that causes fever in most people, but can also cause bleeding. It could be bleeding from the nose, the gums, the bowels, lots of things, easy bruising, those kind of things. Unlike most of the illnesses that we've discussed, this one is actually transmitted by ticks. And while this illness typically was confined mostly to African countries where it gets its name from, I think what we're seeing with global weather shifts and so forth, the potential for vectors, whether it be ticks or mosquitoes or whatever, are able to move more northern. So now we see this disease in Russia, Eastern Europe, some Asian countries, so places that it wasn't previously. And I've also previously written that there are some other diseases that we don't generally see in the United States that we now are seeing in the southern United States, like we talked about malaria before, but we've also seen dengue fever, chikungunya, a number of things that we don't ordinarily see. So we've just got to be more vigilant, and we have to understand weather changes and climate changes are going to impact the diseases that we see and experience.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.